Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com. Boy, Philly fans, devastated by this.
I feel like I might either check into AA therapy or an institute of some sort because this is crap. It's full of crap.
As a woman talking to 69 News after the game. Well, poor Philly fan.
Listen, lady, if you need AA, that's independent of what has happened with the Phillies. I mean, just... Sunny and mild today in your Storm Team forecast with a high of 73 degrees. A little bit cooler near the lake and mainly clear overnight, low down to 53. Milwaukee temp at 50 right now. Milton, Pounds, Florida, and many of the dire predictions about this monster storm manifesting overnight. Oof, sustained winds of 120 miles an hour, gusts up to 145 in Sarasota as the then Category 3 hurricane rushed ashore. Sarasota just south of Tampa on Florida's Gulf Coast. Tampa is where we find ABC News correspondent Jim Ryan, who rode it out overnight. Jim, how did you and any crew you might have had there with you from ABC, how did you stay safe?
Well, staying inside, essentially. Normally, and luckily, the power stayed on, so I didn't have to stay in the car, didn't have to keep the power inverter charged up, keeping the, you know, everything powered. So the hotel did keep its electricity overnight, and so I stayed up in my room on the 12th floor and felt the building swaying back and forth. It actually does that in a hurricane. I've felt that before. And it wasn't such an issue here in the Tampa area, down to the south of here in the Sarasota County area. That's where really the worst of it in terms of landfall was done.
Jim, what do we know about any possible storm surge? That's been all the talk here the last couple of days.
Yeah, that's still waiting to see what the surge was around Sarasota. Here in Tampa, the real nightmare scenario would have been a direct hit on Tampa Bay from Milton. It would have, the storm surge would have inundated the areas around the bay as the bay's level was raised up. But instead, since it hit to the south, and because hurricanes rotate counterclockwise, some of the bay water was actually pulled out into the Gulf. So the bay level at the top of Tampa Bay, the level went down 2 feet, so which is pretty remarkable. We did have 93-mile-an-hour winds here in Tampa. It had lots of other effects, and in fact, this city broke its monthly rainfall record in just one day, 11 inches of rain overnight.
What is the sun up now? I mean, you're an hour ahead of us there, and you're on the eastern part of the country, obviously. Have you had a chance to look out the window here? What are we looking at?
Well, yeah, I took a drive around this morning before sunrise, and there are still big areas of blackness where the power was out, but they'll start getting that restored. I was surprised to see a lot of areas where the lights were still on, though, and a lot of debris around the area here that was blown around. That was to be expected, given that, first of all, we had Hurricane Helene 2 weeks ago and debris left over from that, but now the new debris, the tree limbs, the palm fronds, everything that was blown about by the storm yesterday.
ABC's Jim Ryan is live with us from Tampa, apparently spared the worst of this storm. The other big story was actually ahead of it, Jim, these tornadoes that broke out even further inland off the coast.
Yep. 4 people killed in a tornado, at least one tornado that struck 150 miles away from the point of landfall. This was way over on the east coast of the state. Port St. Lucie is where those fatalities happened. And it'll be remarkable if the devastation, the majority of casualties came not from storm surge, not from flooding or from wind, but from tornadoes.
ABC's Jim Ryan. Glad you're safe, Jim. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.
I don't know, so I have mixed feelings. Remember, we were talking about the dire predictions, the worst, this could be the storm of the century. This is going to be the worst. And at least in Tampa, it's not that.
So
I'm not minimizing the damage and the cleanup and all the things that still have to occur.
It just hit south of Tampa. So because it sucked the water out in that area, there's still storm surge issues elsewhere.
Right.
They were just dramatically worried about a 15-foot surge in the bay there, what that would have done. It did take the roof off the Tampa Bay Rays stadium. That is now no longer a closed stadium.
Yeah, and they were staging. There were cots at the stadium. Actually, here, I'll get you that moment.
And there goes Tropicana Field roof. Wow.
I posted the video on social media. The winds are tearing the roof right off. all these cots on the stadium floor, the outfield of where the Rays play, and they were going to stage first responders and utility workers there. Some 10,000 were expected to at least stage there or perhaps even stay there as they try to get the power restored all over the state of Florida. They're going to have to rethink that now this morning. As for the storm, at the moment, looks like virtually all of it is out over the Atlantic, even off of the east coast there of the Florida Peninsula. 7:15 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Packers still dealing with a significant distraction this week. Wide receiver Romeo Doubs returned to practice Wednesday following his suspension a week ago.
The third-year wide receiver elected not to participate in last week's practice on Thursday and Friday, prompting the suspension. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur wants to move on from the distraction, but ESPN Wisconsin's Jason Wilde believes that's easier said than done.
I'm guessing that Romeo has addressed the team by now. This is not something that just blows over.
Wilde also believes skipping practice was out of character for the third-year wide receiver.
I just don't know what he even had to be really disgruntled about. So his behavior is certainly questionable.
Greg Matzik, WTMJ News.
And the other story is Doubs did not make himself available to reporters in the locker room, as is traditionally done on that Wednesday work day. A lot of other guys talk and they do the interviews. But okay, fine. Like, I'm not saying feel bad for the reporters. What I'm suggesting is he kind of left his teammates then to have to answer all these questions. Wide receiver Christian Watson.
It'll definitely be, you know, a little weird right away just because, you know, I mean, it was a, you know, pretty significant situation, you know, for him. But, I mean, he's roamed us. So, I think it'll, you know, blow by pretty quick and we'll all be, you know, right back to how we were.
We'll see. Watson, for his part, also added he's recovering from that ankle injury, remember. He said he hopes to be back for the game this week. Packers host the Cardinals on Sunday.
Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers says he had nothing to do with the termination of head coach Robert Saleh. Rodgers telling Pat McAfee.
I resent any of those accusations because they're patently false. And it's interesting the amount of power that people think that I have. Which I don't.
Yeah, well, there was speculation considering he had talked to the owner the night before, but, well, I guess we'll never know. 22-time Grand Slam champion Rafael Nadal, he is announcing his retirement as expected. Two words that you don't need to say in news, right? Because it's not news if you all expected it, but here we are. As expected, the Mets win, so now they are in the NLCS. The Mets beat the Phillies. Boy, Philly fans, devastated by this.
I feel like I might either check in the A. Therapy or an institute of some sort, because this is crap. It's full of crap.
As a woman talking to 69 News after the game. Well, poor Philly fan.
Listen, lady, if you need AA, that's independent of what has happened with the Phillies. I mean, just try to help.
Dodgers, Tigers, and Yankees all with W's on Wednesday as well.
And Brewers general manager Matt Arnold will hold his season-ending news conference later this morning.
I haven't had a muffin yet, Matt.
That is set for American Family Field at 11 a.m.
And I want everyone gone.
Crazy, but where do you draw the line? That was basically the theme on Wednesday at the state Supreme Court. At issue is Governor Evers, I should just say the governor's partial veto powers when it comes to the budget. We've heard this story before, right, where a governor of Wisconsin has broad authority and broad power to be able to kind of pinpoint different parts of the budget proposal to almost create new sentences and create new rules when it pertains to creating a new budget. This is after the state legislature has sent it to him or her.
Called the line item veto. So you can cross various things out, and then you can change expenditures and other things like that.
So what happened was, in the last budget, Governor Evers eliminated a hyphen and a couple of words to indicate that there would not just be an increase in funding for public school students next year, but instead until 2400, meaning 400 years from now. So by eliminating a dash, it wasn't no longer 2425 school year. It became the year 2425.
So, right, 400 years.
Added 400 years
each
to an
year
increase.
Of the next 400 years, state spending on schools would increase.
So
which was not the intention of the legislature.
A lawsuit was filed. The attorney, Scott Rosenau.
When the voters enacted the partial veto power in 1930, they didn't envision anything like this happening.
He went on to say,
in this case, the governor did not delete whole words. He selectively struck individual digits, whole words, and a dash to effectively create a new word. That's really, I think, what sets this case apart from any of this court's precedents.
So what do you do about it, though? The court has ruled on this type of stuff before, Justice Brian Hagedorn.
When legal scholars and others who look at what we do in our body of case law, and they think it's crazy, because it is crazy. We allow governors to unilaterally create law that has not been proposed to them at all.
So they all may agree that this is astronomical and a lot. But Rebecca Dallet asks, okay, well then what do you do about it, or what do you want us to do?
I think an initial reaction from maybe anyone looking at this is, wow, right? That seems extreme. That seems like it shouldn't be able to be done. But then becomes how.
Yeah, the how, meaning why would we strike down something if, even though we all agree it's astronomical and broad authority to give a governor, but at the same time, has a law been broken?
Right, because the court's ruling, or the court's intention is not, or I should say design, is not to talk about what we wish the law were,
right,
or what each one of them wants an outcome to be. It's what does the law say. We've passed, we changed it, because there was a lot, they used to call it the Vanna White veto.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right.
And it came out in the 90s that we made some changes, a couple of constitutional amendments.
Yeah, so a Vanna White veto is defined as a budget veto that cuts phrases, digits, letters, and word fragments to create new words, sentences, and dollar amounts. Now, those lawyers, though, hit a snag because these justices pointed out that that amendment in 1990 bans the elimination of individual letters, not numerical digits. Two different things, letters and a digit, Justice Ann Bradley.
I understand the argument that 400 years seems absurd, and that has some resonance, right? But equally absurd to me is your argument that a letter is a number, or vice versa, that a number is a letter. I think it doesn't take a constitutional expert, or what they refer to as a Philadelphia lawyer, a fourth grader, or dare I say a four-year-old, knows the difference between letters and numbers.
So they are now going to write their opinion. Who knows where they go? I'll leave you with this. The justices had a good laugh when Rosenau said, you know what, the decision should be pretty easy and the opinion should be written fairly quickly.
I think if the court were to resolve this case on just one of the two alternative grounds, it could probably write an opinion, frankly, in maybe 20 paragraphs or fewer. Under Section 10.
Have you read our opinion, Simon?
We're great at that.
Is that a bipartisan chuckle?
Yes. Listen to Walsh Bradley here.
That's good.
So they can't, they're tickled to this. So then he tries to double down.
The majority opinion could be 20.
Well played.
Did I say paragraphs? I meant pages.
Yeah, he's trying a little bit too hard there now. Listen to Ann Walsh Bradley right here.
Okay. Well, how wonderful.
Anyway.
Still laughing. Wasn't that funny? I mean, it's...
You've never read our stuff, apparently.
Wow. News about your money this morning. WTMJ Annex Wealth Management Market Update. Dow Jones Industrial Average was up more than 1% to 42,512. In trading on Wednesday, the NASDAQ closed at 18,292. That was up 109 points. And the S&P 500 at 5792. That was up 41. Financial planning at every level. Annex Comprehensive Wealth, Annex Private Client, Annex Ignite. Details at annexwealth.com.
How wonderful.
Welcome to The Knowledge Brokers, a weekly feature covering the dynamics of the insurance market and how it affects Wisconsin businesses and residents. It's sponsored by the original Knowledge Broker, R&R Insurance. And joining us today is Jeff Salazinski, Vice President of Insurance Operations. Jeff, I want to talk about employee benefits today. R&R Insurance provides those benefits for all of us here at Good Karma Brands. It's a great program. And companies, us here too, fast approaching open enrollment.
Thanks, Vince. Great to be here. Employee benefits are one of a company's largest expenses. Businesses need to know how to use their employee benefits program as a tool to attract and retain employees. A benefit understood is a benefit appreciated. This means it's critical to know how best to communicate your company's employee benefits program. The right message will help employees understand their option and guide their decision-making. It'll also increase their sense of value and engagement. Employees will be more inclined to participate and see it as a part of their total compensation program.
So looking at the current very competitive job market, Jeff, what impact do these employee benefit packages have on, say, a candidate's decision to sign with a company?
The impact is huge. Numerous studies indicate that in today's environment, new hires more frequently select the employer with the best overall employee benefits package.
So, Jeff, why R&R Insurance?
Vince, at R&R Insurance, we'll help employers brand their benefit packages in a customized, easy to...
LeBron James, was that some sort of crack on Milwaukee? We'll get into it at sports at 7:45.
Tesla is set to unveil a new vehicle tonight. What could it be?
Tesla CEO Elon Musk has called it the Cyber Cab, a self-driving taxi that would operate much like the rideshare service Uber does, just without any drivers.
That would allow the specialized vehicles, or who knows, maybe even passenger Teslas, to operate on this robo-taxi network.
Yeah, so this idea would be that you, like you use Uber, would just dial it up, boom, and then here comes the autonomous vehicle to drive you wherever you need to go.
Fine with that. This is, has to be happening. This is the future, yes?
What's very interesting about this is where it goes from here, because you talk about younger generations and what they lean on and what they purchase and what they use. Ian Schur is a tech consultant for CBS News. He says this could be literally a game changer.
What it really represents is possibly a change in the way we all use and own cars. The idea that we would rely on a network of self-driving taxis instead of possibly owning a car that sits in our front yards when we're not using it.
If there were that many of them and it was that easy, why would you own a vehicle is the point Ian's trying to make there. We're nowhere near that, but could that eventually be how we transport from place to place?
Didn't you tell me there are already self-driving vehicles
there are,
like San Francisco?
San Francisco's had some pilots done, and yeah, Google's involved in some of this, so this isn't unprecedented. But as you know, whatever Elon Musk, he goes in big on, so the idea of this is not just to be in the paper tomorrow, it's to make this a thing.
You don't have to tip then the
that's a good
non-driver,
question.
Right?
You used to not have to tip the Uber driver.
Right.
And
I don't want Johnny Cab asking me for a couple of bucks.
How about a tip?
That's a deep cut right there.
That is a deep cut. I know Total Recall. And I
this news report brought to you by Steinhoffels. Visit them at steinhoffels.com.
Where am I?
You're in a Johnny Cab.
I mean, what am I doing here?
I'm sorry. Would you please rephrase the question?
Huh? How did I get in this taxi?
The door opened. You got in. It's okay.
Right here.
Thank you for taking Johnny Cab.
Sunny and mild today with a high of 68 degrees, 73 your high temp inland, and low down to 53 tonight under mainly clear skies. Next chance for rain. Actually, now they're saying Saturday night rain is possible and a chance of showers on Sunday. Saturday, 68 on Sunday for your high temperature. Why you keep looking at me? It's just a great movie.
I know. Total Recall.
Back and front. On the issue of the hurricane today, looks like, I'm just taking a look at the radar, Milton is out entirely, right, over the Atlantic? Am I seeing that right?
It's moved on. Maybe just a tiny, nope, it's all the way across now.
So that's the good news. What's done is done, but exactly what is that? We're going to check in with CBS News correspondent Peter King, who is in Florida. We'll talk with him live coming up just after 8 o'clock. Tampa, it appears, was spared the worst and most dire predictions. The eye made landfall at Sarasota, which is what, maybe an hour south at most of Tampa?
What's fascinating is that Jim Ryan told us because of the rotation of the hurricane, and since it came south of Tampa, it actually sucked water out of the bay rather than swelling it with more water.
So that's the good news there in Tampa, but we'll get a full assessment of the entire state of Florida. Blisters were a big problem ahead of the storm making landfall. And we'll do all of that just after 8 o'clock this morning. Sports up next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Packers wide receiver Romeo Doubs back practicing with the team this week following last week's one-game suspension. Doubs reportedly upset with used in the offense, skipped a couple of days of practice, at least publicly. Head coach Matt LaFleur striking an empathetic tone.
They all have their own wants, but how does it fit within the confines of the team's wants? And ultimately, we're in the business of winning, and you got to wrap your own desires under that team-first mentality.
LaFleur and the team very much looking to move on, but this is not fully resolved. I can't wait to talk to Tosh about this. Doubs did not make himself available to reporters in the locker room Wednesday, which, again, I'm not asking you to feel sorry about the reporters. They all got paid whether Doubs was there or not.
Right.
What I'm saying is he kind of left his teammates out there to then have to answer questions about it. And you listen to how strained this answer is from wide receiver Christian Watson, who is his friend.
It's a mentally taxing business, and it's a lot going on. We all have our own individual goals. So, you really never will truly know what someone, and, I'll never want to, talk down and on anyone's mental health. So, I don't really still know, the exact, specifics of the situation, but.
Yeah, Watson doesn't want to be talking about this, right?
Come on. How's your ankle?
Right.
That's
which
what
he did
talk about.
He did say he does hope to play this week,
okay.
But right. You can kind of hear him even when he was speaking there. Unsure of how he was supposed to characterize this. He mentions the mental health thing, but then you kind of see him pull back. And it's like, if that was the thing, like, he doesn't know what he can say, what he can share. Either way, Doubs needs to come out and own this. And until he does, the team's not going to fully move on from that distraction.
Playoff baseball. This soundbite from a Phillies fan to 69 News will tell you who won the Phillies-Mets game.
And I want everyone gone. I want the bartenders gone. I want Xfinity gone. I want my best friend gone. I want them all gone. This is bullcrap.
As a Phillies
otherwise,
fan.
How was the game?
So Mets win, and now they move on as we knew they would. They're in the NLCS. The Dodgers, Tigers, and Yankees all with W's on Wednesday as well. Atlanta Falcons taking a shot randomly. Speaking of Milton, the Weather Channel has this reporter in Sarasota using the Falcons as a reason to explain an analogy.
You might still be in the eye right now. There's a lot more to go. I think back to, the Atlanta Falcons first half Super Bowl winner. We know what happened to the second half when the Patriots came back to life. So do not sleep on the second half of Milton, and we're definitely concerned now.
What the Falcons do to you, guy?
I wonder if you know what that sounded like to me, like a Falcons fan who's still not over it.
Still
like,
dealing with it.
Remember that time when we won the Super Bowl, but then we didn't because we played the second half?
Posted on X, LeBron James questioned this. Can someone please explain to me why we're getting on a plane and heading to Milwaukee for one preseason game? ! That's what he posted. Well, the Lakers play the Bucks tonight. You can hear it right here on WTMJ. Apparently, he doesn't want to be here.
Because that's what the preseason, don't you go to places and play games?
I don't think there are any Laker home games in the preseason this year because of, work being done in their arena. So, he's just venting, or maybe
What a tremendous, I feel so badly for you, having to get on your chartered airplane and come here to Milwaukee and stay at the Fister or wherever they still have the trade. And, really sucks, man.
Yeah, so
now your son's there with you, family trip. That's awful, especially here in Milwaukee.
Idea Man.
I think this should be one of those games that we're all raving about Jeff Apley, raving about Eric Wilson's guy Xavier McKinney as he gets another interception.
Innovator.
And a fifth straight game. McKinney has an interception again.
And Packers Hall of Famer.
We have this, we're on the video screen. You and I are kind of in normal and old boy's head. It doesn't fit on the screen. Is that so big with that prediction?
It's time for Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Kohler Services.
Mark Tausch here on Wisconsin's Morning News, sponsored by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Tausch, how tough do you think it would be for us to get X on the show?
Well, I think if you...
What are the channels we work through there?
I think you go through Wildy and then probably the Packers...
Okay.
But all I would do is send that clip from Bilstead and then constantly talking about how great he is. That usually, there's not going to be any contention with
that'll
this.
That'll warm
it's
him up
just
a bit.
It's just going to be an attaboy interview. Yeah. I think everybody would be on board with that.
Oh, yeah, we'll throw all softballs at him, we promise. Right, no hard questions. Speaking of
which.
Well,
I don't know.
Go ahead.
Vince, what hard balls would you throw at Xavier McKinney now? There's plenty of Packer players and coaches that you'd, you could have good, fun conversations with. Xavier McKinney has been everything that we had hoped and more. Even for Bill Stead's bold prediction, everybody is raving about his leadership and what he's done. So I don't know if there's anything negative you could even bring up about him.
I'm kicking myself because my official entry in the Boldathon should have been my preseason concern, right?
Which was
that there'd be trouble in the wide receiver room because not enough guys were going to get enough touches and whatever. That should have been my Boldathon entry, dude.
If you had done that,
yeah,
you would actually be ahead of Bill Stead.
Right,
because as I told you, because as we have said, I've played 11 years. Never, ever did I have something happen like Romeo Doubs. Wilde has covered the team for 29 years. Never, ever has this scenario played out. So for you to be that bold, and by the way, this is somebody that Jason Wilde has called the most even-keeled player he ever covered, Romeo Doubs. So when you factor all that in, even though Xavier McKinney has done something no one has ever done in the history of the Packers franchise, and Eric Bilstead called it, in essence, your prediction, had you had the conviction to do it, would have been the boldest of all bold moves because it was accurate, and it's the 10th of October.
How frustrating.
That's crazy.
Is that for the receivers like Watson? Is Watson walking in, throwing a pen at him in the receivers room, like, come on, man.
Hey, man.
Help me out. Now I'm answering these questions.
Yeah, I know. And that's the thing as a teammate you never want to do. And I saw that Christian did that. I hope Romeo Doubs got in front of the press yesterday. If he didn't, I think it's a huge misstep. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to be answering questions or being asked questions about another guy. When that's you, if you're the one that is doing that, you feel brutal about it. Sometimes it just happens with play on the field, and that everybody understands. But that's the last thing you want to be doing as a teammate, is having reporters or fans asking you about so-and-so. And what the heck is so? That's where you really don't want to be, and unfortunately that's what Romeo Doubs did to his teammates.
Yeah, he did not speak yesterday, Tausch. And again, I understand if you're going through something and you don't want to answer those tough questions, the problem with that is it then lingers into yet another day, and you're on the other side of this now. You know, like, until dude talks, that's going to be the story. When's he going to talk?
Yeah, the narrative has been told by others, and I get it. There's, you know, he's probably not the most media, you know, he doesn't probably love doing that. I get all of that. And you don't have to do that in normal days and times. But when you made a decision to do something like you did last week, the best way to move forward and to snuff out this story is, A, talk to your team, put it behind you, and then just come out and say, you know, if you watch some of these old pros, they'll get up if there's a controversy. They'll say, I will address it now, and I am not addressing it the rest of the season. For if you have a contract situation, hammer it out in spring training, hammer it out in fall camp, and say, this is what I am not talking about it again. Here's where my focus is. I'm going to finish this season. And I thought, Romeo, that would be a case yesterday, coming in, just being contrite and saying that, and then saying, that's all I'm going to talk about. This is it. We're moving forward. The story dies. And instead,
yeah, right,
that is not what's happening.
7:58 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Thanks, Tausch.
You bet, guys.